All right. What's up, campers? Welcome to another episode of Tales of the Trails, a podcast where three scouts talk about their adventures in the wilderness. I'm Maddie. I'm here with AJ and Andrew. And on today's episode, we're going to be talking about fire. Fire, a dangerous game for scouts. Is it? Is it not? We'll see.
It's more of a dangerous game for Andrew.
Yeah. But before we get
we'll,
started,
we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, before we get started, make sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Trails Podcast and check out our website, trailspodcast.com. Super cool place. It's like a home base for our podcast. You can see all of our older episodes, check out our social medias, and learn a little bit about the three of us behind the mic. Don't forget to subscribe or follow us wherever you listen to our podcast. And let's just jump right into this episode. So, fire. I mean, I don't even know where we want to take this episode. Andrew, why don't you start? Where are you going with this episode?
For this idea, I thought of, like, you know, like in a past camping trip, like we couldn't have a fire because it was too dry. And
right.
Instead of having a fire, we just put a lantern and we put it in the fireplace.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, let's talk about that. Like, the three of us just went on our first camping trip in, like, what, 6-7 months? Rocky Narrows. I know a lot of you guys checked out that episode. So thank you so much for support on that episode. But like,
it was a good trip. AJ got some recordings done for our us canoeing down the river.
Yep.
Oh yeah, that didn't turn out very well. Basically, I put a GoPro on my head, but I put a time lapse, and with my head moving all the time, it didn't turn out very well.
But we played a wicked cool game on Manhunt.
Classic Manhunt game. I would say is the first Manhunt game in a long while.
Yeah,
first good one.
The other thing I want to say is, like, I think despite COVID and everything, we really managed to have a really fun and eventful camping trip.
So from this camping trip, we didn't have a fire. We put a little. I think it was a gas lantern in the fireplace, and the fire pit.
We put a phone nearby with some crackling.
Yeah,
very authentic.
Everyone just sat around it. It's like just like there was a fire was there, but
exactly. It had the same feel.
Yeah,
exactly.
But you know, as in scouting, you know, you do a lot of things with fire. You might burn your finger hairs touching the fire because you know, to flex in your other scouts, like, I can touch the fire better than you.
Like, we got to go all the way back to the basics with this, I think. And like, this was something we talked about in one of our hot takes in, like, one of our earlier episodes. But let's go through this again. Favorite, like, style of setting up a fire. Yeah. AJ, start with you.
I'm trying to think of what I said. I think I said the smorgasbord.
Yeah, you know, I think so,
Kind of just throw everything in there, you know. Get some
hope for the
steel.
Best. Yeah. Okay.
As long as you lose, as long as you use a lot of lint, you're fine.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I like to start off nice and organized. You know, a little teepee setup, and then as the fire gets a bit more fiercer and stronger, it turns into a more of a log cabin. So, or just smorgasbord as AJ does.
Yeah.
Depending on how I feel.
I start right off the bat with the log cabin. I mean, I'm wicked good at setting up log cabins. Fires, they work super well for me. You know, you get a pile of all your little stuff that lights in 30 seconds, and then you put the big logs around it, and you stick some dryer lint or Georgia fatwood. That stuff's the best. You just kind of stick that in all the little cracks, and then light it at 4 or 5 different places, and boom, it's like, and in less than 3 minutes, you can get such a big, nice blazing fire going.
You guys are so organized with your fire and patient, you know, to get all the firewood and all the supplies to make it and to build it.
You don't need to be patient, though, if you do it right.
It just takes
the first
too long. No, but just to set it up and, like, organize, put that there. I'm just like, throw everything in, light it up, and we got a fire going.
I mean,
right
if you're assigned the fire warden, you're supposed to kind of take these steps and precautions, you know.
Right.
You're not just trying to let's get this done as quick as possible. You're like
the other thing is like the if it's not structured, it takes forever, and then everyone's like yelling at you because you're taking 30 minutes to get the fire going. But like one of
when I do it, it's when one of like the younger scouts wakes up and is like, I can start a fire, and they're like, all right, buddy, let's see this, and then we end up helping him.
Were you always a pro at starting a fire, AJ? I don't think so. I think. I think you learn to get good at it. You were probably that little scout that didn't know how to start a fire.
No, that didn't happen. I was just like, boom, I can like use my laser eyes and just shoot the fire
out. Sure.
I walked over to the nearest tree and flicked the switch and the fire turned on.
Right, right, the switch on the tree.
Yeah. He turns the dial down to turn down the fire.
Right, right.
I did the same thing with the sunlight too.
Oh my god!
You know,
I have started fires like that with a magnifying glass. Pretty difficult, but if you get the angle right and everything, then it's not a bad way to start a fire.
Mm-hmm. It's possible. Tedious. It's not impossible. It's possible.
Right, and you got to have like a surgeon's hand, and it's just it can get annoying.
Mm-hmm. But, all right, so those are our different opinions on how to start a fire.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was going into some stories about some fires, you know, like how is like the when you came to scouting, you had to learn firemanship. So I guess who taught firemanship to you guys? Do you remember?
I think it was just a group of older scouts, like because that's who would always do it. It's just mm-hmm. a bunch of older scouts, and so I learned it from them. And we would, the year that I came in is when they discontinued the badge. So I never got the badge for that or the totemship, which is like the knife safety, axe safety, that type of stuff.
Yeah, I never got it too.
So I never got the badge, even though I've taken the course, each of them like 6 times, and I've taught them numerous times as well, because I'm at the point where I can teach it now. But yeah, it's like firemanship. It was always a fun one. I love fire. I love setting up fires. I'm a little bit of a pyromaniac because I like being a little risky with fire, but don't tell my scout. I hope my scout leaders aren't listening. I also hope they are. For the support. I don't know.
Okay, so you don't really have any like iconic memories of, you know?
No, not really.
It was kind of just like basic, like this is a twig. This is not a twig.
Yeah, what are the three things? It's like fuel or kindling. It's kindling and fuel. What's the third one?
Maybe we should reteach him.
Yeah, I might need to go through it.
You need three things to start a fire.
No, I thought it was more than
fuel.
That.
Oh, I know that. It's like fuel, oxygen,
and the heat.
And the heat.
Yeah. The three number wood. It's like
three types of wood.
The tinder, the kindling, and
was it tinder? Was that the one?
Tinder, yeah. Kindling, log.
See, I'm always skeptical to use that because it's the dating app. So I'm like, tinder. I don't know if that's the right. I don't know if that's the right.
And also,
one.
I feel like tinder can also be kindling as well. I don't know.
I mean, as long
tinder,
as it lights.
Tinder, kindling, and fuel. I just had to look it up. Yikes.
All right. So, what about you, AJ? Do you have any specific memories of learning firemanship?
Some of the two good stories from fires all happened at the same camp. My first camping trip was when I first learned how to do it. And basically I was there. We got in there. It was a cabin trip at Treasure Valley. I don't know. I don't remember. I think it's like middle of Massachusetts.
Treasure Valley.
And they're like, Let's just get a fire started. And they're like, and somebody teach AJ how to do it. So I think there was like a couple of us over there. And I think Donnie was one of our older scouts at the time, Donnie. Mm-hmm. He was just like, all right, AJ, so here we go. We got this and this. We stick it in there and we take a lighter and we light the lint. All right, good. You got your fireman's shit.
Right.
And so I'm like, all right, cool. I didn't know what it meant. Like, I didn't know there's like this whole process.
And this explains a lot about AJ's philosophy on fire.
And the leaders are like, you took your fireman's shit, right? I'm like, oh yeah, Donnie taught it to me. Little did I know, like, I didn't actually
that
go to the
whole
thing.
That is not what you needed, yeah.
But, you know, I'm still one of the better people when it comes to fire. So
debatable. And Nick, we put up a
I mean, for some
fire.
Reason, I was always the fire warden, just like.
I didn't that's because you. That's because it's the easiest job.
No, it's also because nobody else wanted to. It's because nobody else wanted to fill up the 5-gallon buckets and have like walk them over to the fire pit mm-hmm. and. Yeah, I love setting up fires. Like, don't get me wrong. I love setting up fires.
Yeah. So I don't have any particular memories. I think I learned my firemanship on like Big Indian. I just remember just like saying
I think I learned it at Block Island actually. So that was a fun trip. Yeah. That's when
It Nickerson?
Nickerson.
I think it was Nickerson. Yeah.
I don't remember the
fires. Was it a biking one?
Yeah, it's a biking one.
Well, no, because so maybe this like the second or third time I did it, teaching it was Block Island
on that trip.
Yeah, it might have been Nickerson because I also did it at Block Island, so that might make sense.
Yeah, I remember you learning it at Nickerson, and you and a couple other kids like stayed back when we went and played capture the flag with some of the Cub Scouts from somewhere else.
Yeah, no, then that was well, I did it at Adventure Day Camp. At Resolute, I learned some of the fire stuff. Yeah, Nickerson was definitely one of them.
Okay.
What else?
Quick
fire story.
Quick fire story. Here we go. We got a story.
The iconic Highland Games trip.
Oh, I wasn't on this trip.
Yeah. So this is like they structured it like a mini Jambo, and every like troop has their like certain space, and you're not allowed to have fires at all. So we were, like, trying to convince, like, the camp master to just let us have a fire or, like, give us a barrel or something. And eventually they budged. But the thing is, they never told us where the barrels were for a barrel fire. So we had to go searching all throughout Squanto looking for a barrel. We ended up stealing one off the side of, like, the park ranger's, like, cabin or something. 'Cause he happened to have, like, a bunch of half barrels there. So we took one. And we ended up doing like s'mores and garlic bread over the fire. It was a great evening.
What Addy forgot to tell you is that we didn't actually need a fire. We just kind of wanted one.
Right.
But somebody was supposed to plan dessert for rank advancement.
That was me.
And that was Addy. So he was trying to do rank advancement, being all selfish, trying to get a fire.
Well, yeah, I wanted a fire for all of us and so that we could all have s'mores.
Okay. All about Addy.
One and out.
Except I
stealing for rank advancement.
All about me. Okay, you want to know? You want to know what's up? The dinner that night was beef stew and garlic bread. I had one piece of garlic bread for dinner that night because it was all that's left, and I don't eat beef, so you know, can't say it was all about me.
That's true.
But and I brought all the materials for s'mores for the troop. So like,
we had lighters.
I didn't use a lighter for the fire.
Or you could have just, like, taken a lighter, held it, and roasted the marshmallow.
Oh, right. Oh, right. Right. Yeah, I want my marshmallows tasting like gasoline.
Yeah.
All right.
So, but what are some, like, things that you have been yelled at for doing it with the fire?
Everything?
Everything.
You can think about it. Like, we did it. Like, just like taking a poker, planning out the fire.
Hey,
playing around with the poker stick. Yeah,
if it goes in the fire. It stays in the fire.
Yeah, it goes in the fire.
And then everyone's like, "Yo, if I throw Andrew in the fire, he has to stay." Ha 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 ha.
Yeah, and then one of the leaders takes that joke too seriously, and it's like game over for you. But the thing is, I feel like our podcast should honestly just be called like the Dave Hayworth podcast. But because Dave Hayworth was one of those guys that would just immediately jump into what you're doing about how what you're doing is unsafe. And so like one of those instances is the thing with Dave is he always sat by the fire. When we went camping, he would never go anywhere. He just sat by the fire all day, making sure it was still burning for when the scouts came back. So like, that's super awesome. But then anytime, like whenever we come back and we're all like talking and hustle and bustle and, you know, we're all super loud and rowdy and he's still sitting by the fire. He's like, "Hey, quiet down. I'm trying to get it down." That was always
He would always say about the idiot stick thing where you don't actually like put your finger on top of a piece of wood as you put it in. You use like a stick to put it on. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I always use my finger because like I don't need finger hairs. I can just burn them off.
Right. Yeah. I loved the one thing I loved doing, bug spray and fires.
Oh, my God.
I always got yelled at that. Anything aerosol or the
vegetable oil. It's
super illegal too.
We have some from some meals. We should have these gallons.
Bacon oil.
Oh, the bacon grease?
The vegetable oil from turkeys. When we cook the turkeys.
Oh, yeah, from the Thanksgiving.
I've never gone on that trip. I got to go on that trip.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It would, like, night and day. Like, it was like, yeah, it was like daylight.
Andrew, Addie, we guys had that big Indian trip where we decided we're not going to have any trash that weekend. We weren't going to have any trash.
I feel like we had
a fire going, and you know, we were eating lunch, and somebody threw orange peels into the fire. Yo, what if we just throw our Lay's chips wrapper in the fire?
Oh no!
And we were throwing plastic and other crap into this fire, and Jesus the leaders just couldn't stop us.
And then, oh right, because it's just such a riot.
What are they gonna do after the fact?
And the news report reads: 6 scouts die after an incident with a fire and a bunch of Lay's chips.
All right. Another thing is, a lot of times during the winter season, you would put your shoes near the fire. Funny thing about shoes in winter, you don't really feel the heat coming through, but as your bottom of your shoe does melt, but you just don't know it.
Yeah, definitely. Because a lot of the times, our winter boots or most work shoes will have rubber soles.
Yeah, and they could be all soggy. And that's like, I can just dry them off and put near the fire.
And then it just melts away, and you're like, ah, crap. Because you never know how hot that fire actually is until your shoes are melted.
Yeah.
The one thing I always do is burn little holes in my clothes.
Oh,
I hate that.
Oh, yeah. From the sparks.
Yeah. The sparks, especially polyester shirts, like our Troop Class B shirts I always burn holes in those. Usually my sweatpants.
Your leggings.
My man leggings. Nah, I just bled onto those because of those thorns. Mm-hmm. But they're all clean now, which is kind of surprising, actually. There's, not a single stain on them.
Moving on, though. So, yeah, burning the bottom of your shoes. What's another thing that we've done? Having the poker stick go on fire, then putting it up in the air, and then watching it go out and putting it back in the fire.
Yeah. Nice. Screwing around with the poker stick is always something that you can get in trouble for.
Do we have any
starting a fire in two different fire pits? Like at Big Indian, we have that main fire pit, and we kind of have that other one where we sometimes burn flags or just something else.
Where you're not supposed to have a fire.
We just start a fire randomly, and we gotta find a way to get it out.
Yeah, and then you just start a forest fire.
All right, do we have any other statements?
I think that's it. All right,
we're gonna take a quick ad break.
Hey, shut it.
Huh? What?
No,
we're not?
No.
I said have a story, Andrew. I still exist.
AJ has a story.
I said,
Andrew and I are slowly kicking you out.
So earlier I said I had two stories from the same camping area, and that was when I first learned. And the other one was the same place, except we were at a different campsite and we were in tents. This is when RC was the SPL. Bad times, bad times.
Great times.
It was good. And he's known for his horrible fires. Okay.
And his horrible leadership.
Well, he's better than you. So.
No, he was running.
I mean, it's debatable. How about that? We'll leave it at debatable.
So he That's always one of the hot takes. Made big fires and then would throw cardboard boxes on them. This is his biggest flaw as a fire builder. And when you throw and when cardboard and paper burns, it gets really ashy. It was a very windy night. So there was just a bunch of cardboard just on fire, spewing all over the
all
air.
The ashes and embers.
Like a bunch of the younger scouts just jumping up and waving it around,
trying to swat them down like bubbles.
The pieces that are on fire. And while we're doing this, he's like, all right, this fire's not big enough. And he just throws a couple logs on and makes it even worse.
Is it ever?
And Andrew, remember at the Jambo, the camp out before Jambo? It was the March before. And the ASPL going to Jambo was in charge of setting up a fire. And he did the same thing. He started a fire with only cardboard. and then put like wood over it. And this is like a tiny fire pit. This is probably like less than 20 inches in diameter. And he's acting as if it's this nice fire ring. So he's just making this nice fire. It's blazing. And we have to perform skits in front of it. And it's like going out of the fire ring. And it's all not very good. But, you know, we still clutched a dub in the skit competition, man. So
yeah, we won. Everyone did the same skit. I was kind of off topic, but everyone did the same skit during that thing. It was the New York mugging. Yeah,
some variation
like
of the New York mugging.
But we came out here with like tankety tank.
Take your moment, Andrew.
We came out with tankety tank. We were geniuses with tankety tank. We had a great cast. Me,
I came out on Andrew's shoulders.
As the gunner.
Tankety Tank is a classic.
And I think it was Mackie as the drill sergeant.
His younger brother, Jordan.
Yeah, yeah. That was
so they weren't even acting. They were just like real life, just yelling at each other.
They're just normal, you know.
All right. So are we all set for our ad break?
Yeah,
now?
Let's Andrew, do this. Why do you let's always go to our ad break, to ad break, and then we'll see
it's
you.
It's like, all right, this episode's over. Straight to ad.
We love our ad. Dude, huge shout out to Anchor. All right, sit tight for a quick ad break. We'll see you at Andrew's hot take segment.
You just stole Andrew's line.
Where Andrew goes, nothing grows.
Welcome back. I hope that was a good ad. I was really proud of it. I'm not even in it, so.
Yeah, this is me. It's like all telling right, people so to go to anchor.com.
Welcome to my segment, where Andrew goes, nothing grows, where I take almost near terrible questions. So,
near terrible questions.
So for sure, today's question is, all right, what would be a dream job for someone who likes the outdoors?
Keith.
Keith.
Be Keith.
Just be this person.
Keith Kubota.
Keith Kubota.
Exactly.
All right. On a more like honest note, I would say like, you know, like a park ranger or a first responder, maybe. Like a first responder to like the natural
force. Like,
so yeah, I guess just a park ranger.
Is this your dream job or just like the
no?
This is like anybody.
Oh,
like
if I wanted a job in the outdoors,
yeah,
I would probably become
Keith Kubota.
I don't know, like wilderness wise, like a park ranger, but otherwise, maybe like a job on the water would be really, really fun. Yeah, yeah, I'm a huge water bug.
I'm
so like a lifeguard or a I don't know, like someone who takes people on kayak tours. That'd be wicked fun. Kayak tours.
Yeah, you just tour for yourself. You leave everyone else behind you.
Right. It's like, see ya.
How about you?
I mean, I was going to say like something funny like Addy did being Keith, but I guess I can't do that anymore.
Beat you to
dream it. Job. You know, I think you guys are both thinking the wrong thing. The dream job for someone who likes the outdoors is a podcast host.
Funny. Right?
Get it?
Right, because we're all sitting in dark rooms right now.
That's our whole thing, you know? You know, just go experience the outdoors and, you know, talk about it with people. And somehow they listen to you. I don't know why you guys are still here. And,
dude,
you know,
thank you for still being here, though.
Yeah.
But I think you're all on the wrong track. I think the dream job...
Andrew wants to be
outdoors.
A homeless person living in the
outdoors. No, it's being a computer science programmer. I mean, a programmer, sorry.
A computer science programmer?
Yeah, it's like programming, right? Isn't that a dream job? Someone to be at the outdoors, constantly at a computer, constantly in a...
Right, right. Looking at that Windows XP background with the field, yeah, that's the outdoors.
All right.
Yeah, well, the closest thing to outdoors for them is like a tree in their back, in their screensaver.
Right. Or
not even
in
their backyard because they probably live in an apartment.
All right, but I don't have a serious answer for this one because I made it something on the spot because
exactly. I was about to say you made this question up like 30 minutes ago. We've been recording for 35 minutes.
Okay. Now this is a very hot topic. This is a heated question right here. This is what divides the troop.
Hot or not? Here we go.
The rule of fives. Is it legal? Will it?
I'm gonna let AJ talk first. I'm not gonna do this right now. I gotta think. I gotta structure my answer professionally.
All right. Let me explain the rule.
I don't see why this is so controversial.
No. AJ. Let me explain the rule of five for people who don't know. So the rule of fives is you say fives when you're leaving your seat.
Right.
So no one steals your seat. But it's about fives is implying in 5 minutes.
And then you have 5 minutes to get back to your chair. And if you don't get back to your chair, the seat's free range. However, if you do, then, you know, you're sitting down. But the thing is, recently, it got out of hand to the point where people were calling fives on, like,
coolers,
a table or a cooler or somebody else's lap. Like, yeah.
So the leader, the leaders didn't get involved in banning the rule of fives for that camping trip.
But it's still kind of used in our troop on the down low. Like, people still say five. But then, like, a leader gives them, like,
I think it's kind of legalized out now.
The leaders don't really care. It's just when it got out of hand, they, like, banned it at that camping.
Well, you see, now that Andrew's a leader, he can bring it back when they get rid of it.
Well, no, he's just over the age of 18. Yeah. He doesn't actually have a rank.
All right. So, AJ, what's your opinion on rule of five?
I don't see why this is so controversial. We all decided fives was game. All right, I think it was Mash Jam where it got out of control. We're all like, all right, fives is fives.
Yeah, maybe. Everything went out of control at Mash Jam.
Everybody's got to follow it. And everyone's like, all right, we're down. And, you know, people are complaining because they get up and they forget. And you lose it. So.
Oh, but there is one rule. There is one rule that, like, trumps fives. Is like, if it's your own chair, then fives.
If it's your own chair or if you're a leader, you can just kick out whoever.
The leaders aren't going to kick you out of your own chair, though. The leaders bring their own chair. They sit it down in the perfect place, and they just win. because you can't kick a leader out of their chair.
Yeah, but if a leader just puts down a chair and say there's, like, no chairs, and the leader wants to sit down, and there's two scouts sitting in one of the leader's chairs, they got to pick who they're going to evict. Right, and that's when the politics of this whole thing comes into it, right? Yeah. Like, hey, Mr. Blah blah. We'll just go with Dave because we have like five Daves. Dave, you know, I helped you out this weekend. I made your breakfast.
Let me stay in your chair.
I'm your favorite. You know me. And
that usually doesn't work out.
Somebody gets evicted.
It's usually the guy that's like trying to convince them that gets evicted. He's like, "All right, get out."
It only gets heated when there's probably not enough spaces to sit down for everybody, especially on like bigger trips with bigger people. And there's like very few spots, maybe like one or two good spots to sit down, and there's like you just have to sit on the ground or something like that.
Yeah, you're forced to like, you know, accommodate. I think for my answer though, I gotta start off by saying like it's pretty impressive how quickly and how universally fives was adapted into the troop.
I think like, when I first heard fives, I'm like, what is this? What does this mean? And then slowly this single word, it means take fives, means like you can leave without your seat getting taken. It's a light bulb.
It's crazy how this single word has so much influence in the troop. It like just undermines the authority of everybody. Right? It's like the god of Troop 232.
Yeah. You know what I'm amazed by is that in all of this competitiveness to like play fives, I don't think anyone's actually like taken a watch or their phone out and actually timed 5 minutes.
We're just like,
it's been 5 minutes. It's been like 2 minutes. Well, sorry.
Right. It's like, well, it's been what feels like 5 minutes. So, but for me, I don't really care as long as it doesn't get out of hand.
It gets out of hand when we stop calling fives over chairs. But when we've pulled coolers out to sit on, we have our patrol boxes that people are sitting on.
I think that's when there's not enough sitting area and you just got to make
When you have a younger scout when you have a younger scout lying yeah. on the ground and you call fives on his back.
Yeah, that's my patch of grass right there that I called fives on.
Yeah. What are you
that's
doing?
That's my space of air I called fives on. What are you doing?
Like some kid calls five on the log cabin that's just sitting in the middle of the fire pit.
I don't know if you guys know. Joke. I mean, I do this all the time. I do like so whenever it's someone, right. whenever no someone calls fives, I kind of just steal their spot and just wait until they get back. Because I'm a real nice guy. I let them.
You're a nomad. You're a nomad.
I don't apply to the rule of the fives.
Well, obviously, if you take their seat and then get up when they get up, yeah. that's fine. Like, why leave a chair empty? You know,
yeah. Got to keep it warm.
I got to rest my weary legs from a. And the 5-mile hike.
Yeah, and Andrew, if you get lucky though, like you'll have people getting up every 2 minutes, and you just have a seat like all the time. You know, you're just constantly rotating.
Yeah. I mean, or you could just bring a seat like me, and Zach. Yeah. Zach always has a seat.
Agent,
your seat is like 1 second from destroying
yeah,
itself.
Yeah, because
right?
I was sitting in it, and some kid pulls back, and the metal bar just bends. And I fell out of it. I'm like, whoa, what was that? What are you doing? He's like, oh, I got you. And
my life, it's because too many hamburgers on the
too many, too many hamburgers.
That's it. That was back when I was probably one of like the smallest kids in the troop.
Really, it's that old.
When I had a squeaky voice.
I have a question for our viewers. Okay. All right. Viewers to people outside of
when
our
you say
troop.
Viewers, you mean listeners, right?
Listeners, viewers, right. same thing.
This isn't a visual podcast.
Yeah. Right. Dude, I just love watching an audio file.
All right. Let me finish my sentence.
Shut up, AJ.
Yeah, AJ, come on. So, so to our listeners, do you have like a troop tradition similar to this of fives? If you do, send us a comment or what is it, a voice message?
Which we keep saying, but I don't think anybody knows how to. So if you're stuck on how to do a voice message, here's how. All you have to do is go to anchor.fm/trailspodcast. You'll find our public site on anchor.fm, and one of the options there is to send us a voice message. One of our one person who did that was Daniel Preston. He sent us a voice message responding to one of the questions we asked. We incorporated him into our episode, and it was a really good time. So if you guys want to be part of our episodes, send us a voice message, and we will make that happen for you.
All right, and I think with that, we're going to wrap it up, right?
Yeah, we look forward to hearing from you guys. Don't forget, you guys can become monthly supporters by subscribing to our podcast for $1, $5, or $10 a month. It's super generous of you, but as always, your listens are all we can ask for. And, you know, the monthly subscribers.
And share with
whatever.
Your friends.
Anyways.
Right?
Share it with your friends.
Shares it with five friends. Just like snap them, like, bro, go listen to this dope podcast. And say, just like one of them listens to it and they're like, yo, this is dope. The other ones are like, bro, I don't listen to podcasts. But that one person's like, yo, this is cool. And then he goes and he's like, shares it with five other friends.
Exponential regression.
And then we're as big as Joe Rogan, okay?
all right. Yeah, Joe Rogan. That's who we aspire to be.
All right. Well, thanks for your support. See
before,
you all next
before
time.
That though, oh. I want you guys to remember we have an international community, 14%. I think I said 16% last time, so come on, international, bring that number up. United States, you guys are rocking it. Thank you so much for all your support. We love you. We can't wait to hear from you in our voice messages.
And now for a corny outro. Whoa, Andrew, you didn't get the bucket of water and now the fire's all over the place. We gotta end the episode now. See ya.
Let's give AJ his moment. Bye, guys. Peace out.